moderator Jackson, my friend and brother in the Lord, and to all the hosts of preachers and pastors that are here. Amen. To the visitors and friends, and to the members of this great church, and to the dynamic members of St. Mark Baptist Church, and all who are in the army. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is just again a joy to be here on this wonderful homecoming celebration. It is too my first homecoming celebration since COVID-19, but you know, I'm so glad that we serve a God that's larger than COVID. Yeah. We serve a God that's larger than anything else that's happening in this world. We serve a God that is in full control of our lives. We serve a God that knows what's best for us. And we serve a God that inherits the praises of His people. And I don't know about
God bless you to be here.
book of Joel. Book of Joel, chapter 2.
Amen.
The book of Joel, chapter 2. Amen. Amen. God is just so good, and
yes, he is.
We just thank him for all that he is doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I sought the Lord, and I asked God, what do I say to Chapman Grove this afternoon? This is what he gave me. Don't shoot the messenger. But give God praise for what he has for us today. Joel chapter 2, amen, beginning at verse 23. And the word of the Lord says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month.
Well.
And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the pommel, the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed.
Glory.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this preaching moment. We thank you, O God, for all that have gathered here today. We thank you, O God, for this homecoming celebration. For God, we know that you have blessed us already, that you have kept us through our morning services and our drive down the road. But we know, O God, that you are faithful because you have proven yourself to us over and over again. We know, O God, what you're able to do because you've done it for us before. So God, right now, look on us as we gather here as empty pitchers before a full fountain, asking God that you would fill our cups and let it overflow. Asking God that you would do a work in the lives of your people right now. O God, that someone may leave differently, that someone may leave uplifted, that someone may leave delivered, that someone may be saved, and we'll be so careful to give your name all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we thank you, and the church said amen.
Amen.
We want to leave this topic with you this afternoon. It won't be long now.
Wow.
It won't be long now. My brothers and sisters, on this homecoming afternoon, we must face the daunting reality that the world as we once knew it has changed. You might not want to look back, but I need you to go back with me for just a few minutes. Because from last year to this one, we have truly been blessed. Can I get a witness? We experienced, listen, racism on all levels, right? We experienced injustices on all levels. We experienced destruction and violence on all levels. We experienced natural disasters on all levels. And while dealing with these things from last year to this one, we were figuring out our way in the middle of a global pandemic.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but just being here is enough for me to celebrate what the Lord has already
done. Yes, sir.
Because if you're here, the pandemic didn't take you out. If you're here, you're somebody. And somebody ought to just take a minute.
Glory!
If you're here, God has been good, and he's already shown himself faithful to you. In our text this afternoon, the prophet Joel provides a powerful word of hope after a strong word of warning. And I'm sure you can relate to this text this afternoon, because after what we have experienced with COVID-19, no one wants to hear the word plague. A plague indicates death, destruction, sadness, and loss. And we are all too familiar with what that may feel like. And believe me, the people in Joel's day knew what that was. The prophet Joel warned them that if they did not turn from their evil ways, a plague of locusts would destroy them. But if they repent and return to God, they would be delivered. And the people in Joel's day knew what they should do, but they wouldn't bring themselves to do it. For example, they were like the people that know how to drive a car, but won't get behind the wheel. Stay with me. They were like those that know how to prevent COVID, but won't get the vaccine.
Come on here.
I'm just making it plain. See, all they needed to do was repent and return to God. Plain and simple. Time was running out and destruction was promised to come upon them. But living a life on the wild side was better than living a life on the righteous side. Ignoring God was easier than following God. Not listening was easier than listening. If you were like this growing up, your mother probably told you that you had a hard head. Somebody say amen. Aretha Franklin put it like this. She called it a chain of fools. Somebody needs to come with me today. Today, somebody might call you a word that means not so smart if this is the behavior that you had. But whatever you were called, if you have ever been like the people in our text, you need to turn your situation around. See, they were sinking deep in sin and far from a peaceful shore.
Well,
they were so comfortable in what they were doing, they didn't want to change their ways.
Right,
and many of us are familiar with the scripture that I just read in chapter 2. Let me help you understand that's the good part. But before you get to chapter 2, you've got to go through your chapter 1. Chapter 1 doesn't have any hallelujahs or thank you Jesuses in it. It doesn't have any shouting moments or celebrations in it. In chapter 1, the people are distressed and broken. They are experiencing hopelessness and sorrow. Everything has been wiped out. All hope is gone. This is a society where they lived off of its agriculture, and their jobs were gone. So that meant that their money was gone. They have no joy. They have no excitement. And I know that's not anybody in Chapman Grove today. And the Bible says that because of the locust, the canker worm and the palmer worm, everything was gone. But just like when God picked you up and turned you around, God offers a message of hope in our text this afternoon. When God says I will, when God says ye shall, he is therefore confirming his promises unto you. Let me help you. He's letting you know that if he said it, you can count on it. He's letting you know that if he said it, you can bank on it.
Yes.
He's letting you know that if he made a promise, he is a promise keeper. And my God keeps every promise that he makes. Is there anybody in here this afternoon who can say I serve a God that keeps every promise that he makes? How do I know? Because he blessed me one day. How do I know? Because he picked me up one day. Somebody ought to just say thank you, Lord, for being that type of God. Thank you, God, because you never left me. You've always stood by my side. And God offers us an opportunity that we can't refuse. He states in verse 23 that we need to be glad and rejoice in the Lord. He says you have reason this afternoon to be excited. We have reason to give God praise, because what I have for you, he says, will exceed the very expectations in your mind.
My God.
What I have for you is beyond what you can even ask or think. He says, what I have for you, you haven't even experienced yet. What I have for you is a consequence of what you're going to do for me. And if you just return to me, he says, I'll prove to you that I am the great I am. I'll prove to you that I am the creator that no weapon formed against you will prosper. I'll prove to you that I can do anything but fail. I'll prove to you that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, I'll prove to you that whatever you need, I'm able to supply all of your needs. Somebody just give the Lord praise. He says, I am the Lord. I am the God who made the heavens and the earth. I am the Lord, and I can do anything but fail. I wish I had a few folks in here this evening that knew something about God. See, from this text, we learned three things about the Lord that we must understand this afternoon. I'm not long-winded, I promise, but three things. The first thing is that his promises are always revealed in the middle of your circumstances. His promises are always revealed in the middle of your circumstances. You wonder why God hasn't answered you. Well, you haven't waited long enough. If that was too much for you, it means that while you're in the middle of your storm, while you're going through the trials and tribulations of life, while you might be in the middle of your drought or whatever the situation is in your life, might be a famine, it might be disappointment, it might be pain, it might be sickness, and let me tell you, it might be a pandemic, but while you're in the middle of it, God is working everything out for your good. And you wonder why you're still here. You're not here by chance. You're here because God said that I'm not going to let the enemy take you out. You're here because God said that my hand is on you, that I've covered you and I've blessed you. And no matter what any demon may say, God says, I've got you. And the same God that says, I got you, is the God that blessed you before. Because he said, I've got you now. And if you hold on, to know how things will turn out. They'll book that say I'm a child of God, but then they're trying to figure out and do everything like they are God. They'll book that say that I trust God, but scared to give God praise in the church. They'll book that say they trust God, but they're scared to go get the groceries. They'll book that say they trust God, but yet you might see them somewhere else. But they can't come up in the church. I'm just thinking if they you said you trust a God that you can't see. Then you ought to be able to praise him like you never praised him before. And you certainly ought to let your faith overcome your fear. Why? Because God is bigger, God is greater, and God's got everything under control. Why is it that we always want to know the end before the beginning? Why is it that we say we trust God, but then we've tried to be God? When you know that the same God that delivered you before is the same God that's able to deliver you right now. If he bought you out of danger, if he bought you out of sickness, if he bought you from the horrible pit, then the same God that delivered you before is the same God that's able to deliver you now. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you gotta hold on and watch God work. Because we serve a God that is able to do anything but fail. Come on, bless God. Is there anybody in here young enough? Anybody in here young enough to remember the Heinz ketchup commercial? You got to be real young.
Oh, give me old people.
To remember the Heinz ketchup commercial. But the little boy sitting at the table, waiting for the upside down bottle of ketchup to produce one drop. When the other version, it would just come right out. But he had the upside down bottle. Y'all got to remember it.
Damn.
The upside down bottle of ketchup, waiting for just one drop. And the commercial said,
anticipation making me wait.
Is making me wait.
Yes.
He'd rather have waited for one drop.
My God.
Of something good than grabbing hold of something bad. And I believe that there's a few people in here this afternoon that can testify that you know what that means. Because you once was young, but now you're old. And you've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You know what it means to trust in the Lord. You know what it means to wait it out through your circumstance. You know what it means to hold on to God's unchanging hand. You know what it means to get down on your knees late in the midnight hour. You know what it means to cry out and cry loud. Because God, he never let you down. And the same God will bless you right now. But we must also understand, my friends, this afternoon that God also has some things on reserve just for us.
Glory!
God's got some great things on reserve just for us. God says this, I'm going to bless the just and the unjust. But every now and then, Pastor Jackson, every now and then, he said, I'm going to put some stuff on reserve.
Glory to God.
With your name on.
Thank you.
I'm going to put some stuff on reserve because I know who's worshiping me. Yeah. I'm going to put some stuff on reserve because I know who the faithful are. I know, oh, glory to God, who trusts in me. I'm going to put some stuff on reserve because I know what they're going through. And I know where their heart is. I've got some stuff on reserve for my people. And if you have the boldness to bless me on credit, he says, I've got the power to bless you in the middle of the pandemic. Is there somebody in the day that says, I'm going to bless God in advance because I want my reserve? I want my reserve. I know God's got it. So I'm going to bless him now because I know what's in store for me later is working it out for my good. I know he got it. All under control. Somebody tell the Lord, thank you. God says this. I'm going to send some rain, and everything that you need will be provided. Blessings will overflow. I'm almost finished. All that was taken away will be refreshed. All that was removed will be restored. All that was hurt will be over. The pain will no longer exist. He said, I will restore you. If that was me, I sure would be blessing God right now. He said, I'll make you ruler over many. Is there anybody in here today that understands what the Lord is doing? This is a homecoming celebration, right? This is a homecoming celebration. Watch this, verse 25. God said, he said, I'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar.
Yeah.
The palm of worm, my great army, which I sent among you. In other words, he said, I'll restore the years that you were struggling. I'll restore the years that you were in pain. I'll restore the years that you were broke. I'll restore the years that you didn't know how you were going to provide for your children. I'll restore the years that you were all alone. That you prayed for somebody else. I'll restore the years that you spent heartbroken. I'll restore the years where you spent helping other folk and nobody else helped you. I'll restore answers, but you had to provide answers for somebody else. The years you had to pray for somebody else, but you needed prayer yourself. God said, I'll restore all these years. And if you're in here today, you ought to thank God, because he made a promise. He said he would give them back to you. He said, I will restore the years. But watch this. He said, and ye shall eat in plenty. Hallelujah. While some folk went through sickness almost unto death, that was a part of God's plan.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because if you don't go through something, then you can't tell anybody how good God is. But you have to go through something. And once you go through something, you can tell somebody that I know my Redeemer. I know that I serve a God that's able to bring you out. And we are experiencing these different and unusual times. Because God is teaching us that there is only one that we can put our trust in. And I believe with all my heart, as he has confirmed today, that it won't be long now. But we must get ourselves right. Hallelujah. We must get ourselves right. And at this time, we want to extend an invitation.